as soon as I saw you, I knew adventure was going to happen. A.A. Milne.
Okay, I've never had the feeling that, like, what, how would I call a helicopter right now? Like, what is gonna happen if we can't, because we don't have enough gear to rappel down. So like, we have to keep going up because there's a hike off at the top. But like, the only option is to keep going up. And this, we're watching the sun, like, start going down and down and down.
Yeah.
And it, we got to the point where we're like, we're just moving. We're not eating anymore. We're not drinking any water. It's just like, you just have to get to the top.
We started at 6 a.m. and we summited at 6 p.m. Like, it wasn't supposed to be like that. And
we were expecting to summit by noon.
I'm Doc, and this is the John Freakin' Muir Pod.
Welcome to the John Freakin' Muir Pod. Lace up those boots and sling on the pack for a romp through trails, short and long. With your host and Renaissance man, Doc, it's time to embrace the suck.
Welcome back to another week on the trail, Dirtbags and Hiker Trash. I'm Doc, and this is the John Freakin' Muir Pod. Let's start off with a reminder. If you are enjoying the podcast, take just a minute, help us out, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're not enjoying the pod, well, just go ahead and keep that to yourself. All right. This week, we are talking to the adventure addicts, Kelby and Zoe. Welcome to the John Freakin' Muir Pod, you two. How's it going?
Fantastic. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. I'm excited to talk to you guys tonight. I always love talking to couples because I get two for the price of one in a lot of areas. We get two pro tips. We get two must bring gear review. We get two adventure media recommendations. So this is going to be a lot of fun tonight.
Well, you're going to find with us, like, gear wise, we have the exact same gear. Somehow all of our gear, we find something we like and the other person is like, oh yeah, that's great. I love it too.
So Kelby, tell me the truth. Does she copy you or do you copy her?
She copies me.
Oh, what? I think it's a mix.
Okay. And you know, we have our podcast that airs on all the major podcast networks as well as on YouTube. And so if you're listening to this, I always like to suggest, you know, hit pause, go over to our YouTube channel and watch the video, because I can already tell, you know, the glances between the two of them deciding on who copies who. This is going to be a fun episode to watch.
You're in trouble.
All right. Hey, in all your time on the trails or out there doing some outdoor adventuring, have you guys been bestowed trail names? Have you come up with trail names, or is it just Kelby and Zoe?
Right now, it's just Kelby and Zoe. We have not gotten trail names yet. I think that if we ever did a through hike, I'm sure that would come, but we haven't gotten any yet.
Or spend more time on our backpacking trips with other people.
Yeah, that could also do it.
That's right. Hey, Kelby, I'm going to put you on the spot. If you had to give her a trail name right now, what would Zoe's trail name be?
Whoa. Oh, man.
I told them before we started this interview that I wouldn't ask them any questions they didn't know the answer to. I've already broken that promise. I'm sorry, right. Kelby.
No pressure.
And Zoe, get ready, because I'm going to ask you the same question.
Oh, man.
And if you can't come up with one, that's okay. Maybe we will stumble across some trail names for the two of you during the episode.
Yeah, I'm honestly stumped right now.
Okay. Zoe, does he have any peculiarities that we could assign to a trail name?
I call him my pack mule because I can load him up with all of my weight if I wanted to, and he will not complain about it for a second. So something along those lines is what I'm
thinking. Bring it on. I love the weight.
Pack mule, mule boy.
Yeah.
I have gotten mountain goat from coworkers.
Okay. Mountain goat. In what context? You say coworkers.
That same way, like on the fire line, I've gotten mountain goat because they'll pack tools and hose packs on my back and I just go.
Yeah. And we will probably get to this a little bit later, but just to give everybody a preview, you actually work on the fire lines.
So yeah. I've been a firefighter for Cal Fire for the past couple of years.
Okay. All right. Hey, have you two listened to the podcast at all?
We have. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been listening to it a lot since we got the invitation from you, and I've been loving it. I was listening to it this morning.
Nice. Hey, I only asked just to make sure that you are familiar with a segment that happens towards the end of the episode called our Pro Tip Insight of the Week. And that's where I will turn to you and ask you to share some trail wisdom or some outdoor wisdom, outdoor adventuring wisdom with our listeners to make their next outdoor experience even better. So don't be surprised. And we get two for the price of one. You're each going to have to be responsible for dropping some trail wisdom.
We've got it.
Can do.
We're ready.
Okay. All right. Fantastic.
The must bring gear review.
Oh, there's Half Calf reminding us that it is time for the must bring gear review sponsored by the ultralight backpacking gear company, Six Moon Designs. And here's how it works. If you were to let a stranger pack your bag with pretty much generic gear for a multi-day hike, what is the one specific piece of gear you would insist on being packed? And if you've got a particular brand for that specific piece of gear, even better. So Kelby and Zoe, what is your must bring piece of gear? Who's going to go first?
Zoe just volunteered me to go first. So,
okay.
When I read this question, I thought about kind of two, and I don't know if I can decide just yet, but, paracord for me is a must anytime I go out outside. And then, I carry a multi-tool when I go backpacking or when we go backpacking, and the one I tend to bring is the Leatherman Signal. Other than that, I can be comfortable in just about anything that's packed in a pack.
Okay. Now take us through the paracord decision. What do you use paracord for out there?
I've used it for so many different things. I've used it to fix backpacks. I've used it to tie Zoe's shoes back together. I've used it for hanging a bag. I've used it. It's useful in so many ways that I just found that bringing it is better than not having it because I've used it so many times now.
I used to give him such a hard time for bringing it. And then we've used it on like nearly every time we go out. So I'm like, okay, you have to bring it because we can't go anywhere without it now.
And although I don't mind a whole bunch of weight, I'll carry a 45, 50 pound pack and not complain, but paracord doesn't weigh anything. And 20 to 25 feet will do a lot of work for you. I found like little tip for you, aside from the later tips, paracord, you can pull it apart and use like the sheath and the core. So 25 feet gets you 50 feet of paracord.
Oh, nice. Yeah. And you are expected to drop trail wisdom throughout the episode. There will just be that official time at the end where you'll be put on the spot. So right. That's great. Now, which Leatherman model again, was it?
The Leatherman Signal.
Signal. And what does that have in store?
So that one's got a little flint rod in it. So backup fire starter. That way I'm not carrying an extra, it's a multi-tool, you know, it has a bunch of stuff on it. So if I don't have to carry an extra flint rod, it's got that as well. It's got the pliers. I found this one has the replaceable the replaceable cutters. So sometimes on the cheaper models, the cutters will dull on anything you try and cut. And so those cutters work really well. It's got a blade sharpener on it. It's got a little diamond bit, so you can take that off and sharpen your blades if you need to. It's simple. It's got a little screwdriver on it. So it just has a few tools, but it gets the job done. Pliers, knife, little ferrocium rod, and that's about it. That's all I need.
Okay. Those are both great. We actually get three for one, unless Zoe has two as well. We might get four for one.
Here, I don't have two.
Okay. Just one. What do you have, Zoe? What's your must bring piece of gear?
I think mine would have to be, it wouldn't be packed, but I would bring it. I'd wear it. My shoes, the boots that I wear are like, I've never found anything as good as them. We both have the same pair. We're that couple on the trail. Yeah. That's like matching unintentionally, but also kind of intentionally, but they're the Salomon, Outline Gore-Tex mid boots, and they're like super lightweight and the most comfortable thing I've ever put on my feet. And I've worn them for 3 years and never gotten blisters. And so those are like the best.
Okay. Yeah. You got to take care of the feet. If the feet aren't happy, the hiker isn't happy, and you can't focus on anything but the pain of each step. So if you've got a shoe or a boot that works for you, outstanding.
Yeah.
That's a motto of our pitch. Happy feet makes a happy hiker.
That's right. Now we mentioned this earlier. I think I mentioned in the intro, this title that you two have, and that is Adventure Addicts. Tell us a little bit about that. What is that?
So we created the Adventure Addicts about a year-ish ago. And we created it on Instagram. the name just came because we were coming up, trying to come up with names for like weeks and nothing stuck except for that one. We were like, we're trying to talk about adventure and what do we talk about with that? That we're we're addicted to it. And so that's how it came together. But the Adventure Addicts is a page that we have on Instagram that talks all about getting people outdoors, inspiring people to plan trips, talking about, especially backpacking is one of our biggest topics because it's pretty intimidating to get into. And a lot of people want to do it, but just have no clue where to start. So we share a lot of tips about how to get gear and how to get outside and plan for trips and all of that. And it's been like our heart and soul for the last year, putting everything into that page. So it's been really fun.
And I think to add to that is like it going into the name a little deeper is we don't just backpack. We tend to do a lot of different things. She skis, I snowboard, we mountain bike, we rock climb. We're trying to get into some mountaineering. So we try to be diverse in everything we do. Although we show a lot of backpacking, we just enjoy being outside in all forms, really.
Mm-hmm. That's right. I've said it many times that the outside adventure tree has many branches. There are all kinds of different varieties that people can get involved in and get involved with multiple. You don't have just to limit yourself to hiking or through hiking. You know, there's big wall climbing, there's rock climbing, there's mountaineering, there's canoeing, kayaking. I mean, there's just so many great things that you can do outdoors and just make so many fun memories, even if they are type two fun, where are you guys familiar with the different types of fun?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yes. Now, I'm not sure.
And then type one fun, but.
Yeah. Type one fun for those who are saying, what are they talking about? Type one fun. You're having fun while you're doing it, but you don't do a whole lot of talking about it afterwards. Type two fun. You're not having fun when it's happening, but man, do you like to talk about it afterwards? You tell the story over and over again, like, I can't believe I lived through that. And then type three fun, which I will debate anybody that I don't think is actually fun, is, you know, you don't have fun doing it and you never talk about it again. So I'm not sure how that classifies as fun.
I would agree with you on that one.
Now, do you guys have a lot of stories to tell some type two fun in your various outdoor adventure pursuits? We're going to get to that a little bit later, but I just want to give the folks a preview that they got some stories in store here.
Our type two fun, we just call Zoe and Kelby adventures. Like, that's just par for the course. So
we've come to realize that I don't think a single one of our trips goes according to plan. And honestly, all of the parts that don't go according to plan end up being the parts that we look back on and are like, that's why it was so memorable, because of that mistake or the weather or things like that.
That's why I think that outdoor adventuring is so useful and practical, because you have to learn to kind of roll with the punches and adapt and problem solve out there. Yeah. And you have folks out there who love to plan every minute detail. Plan it down to, you know, I'm going to stop at this time of the day and have this snack, and this is where I'm going to camp, and this is what we're going to do. And day one, when they don't make their mileage on the first day, that just goes out the window. And you've got to be flexible and learn to live in that uncertainty, which I think is good for everybody.
Yeah,
absolutely.
No, I think I'd argue we thrive in that kind of like just everything is so much better when it's kind of just freeing, if you will. Like, it's just whatever, let's keep going. Like, let's just have fun with it.
That's right. I mean, everybody who is engaged right now in the world of work, you know, we're between the ages of say 20 and 60, you know, doing their careers, doing their thing. I mean, we are so regimented by our schedules. You know, we've got to be at work at a certain time. We've got to make these phone. We have these meetings at this time. It's everything is really structured. And I think having that unstructured time outdoors is very valuable for everybody.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's the hiking pole.
Oh, Half Calf reminding us we got to keep moving along here in the episode outline. It's time for the hiking pole. I have seven questions for you. And these seven questions are going to help me determine a sanity rating for you, with 100 representing you are completely sane, which we've not had anybody completely sane yet. And one is you are completely bonkers. So 7 questions to help me give you a score. And if you guys are joined at the hip, like you say you are, maybe you get the same score. But if I'm able to flesh out some differences between the two of you, it could be that you have different scores.
I have a feeling they're going to be close.
Yeah, I think they're going to be pretty close.
So? All right, let's see. Let's see. First question is an easy one. Trekking poles or no trekking poles out there?
Trekking poles.
Trekking poles. We used to not be into trekking poles. And then we did our first 14er together and my knees were just dead on the way down. And literally the next day we bought trekking poles. And since then we love them.
I find myself using just one more often than not, but.
Oh, that's a slight deduction. Already you're different.
Fine. That's fine. Yeah. I get one hand free to do whatever I want with.
Okay. Now what do you think the barriers are out there for people who don't think that trekking poles are useful?
I think that they can like get in the way or feel like an extra thing to worry about. Like I end up carrying them on my pack a lot, but I want if we're going uphill or downhill, I want to be the option to be able to use them. So like, I think that people don't want to worry about stuff in their hands.
Yeah. Like the story we'll get into later, but our Connish trip, like they got in the way for me when we were doing some climbing and the trekking poles were just kind of cumbersome, doing a little fourth class scrambling and they're in the way, they're sticking off the pack. And I had a 25 liter pack on, small pack, but those still stick off the side of it. So
we didn't bring them on our most recent backpacking trip though to Coyote Gulch because we were just in like water.
Yeah, we didn't
and we needed to do some climbing. So I guess it kind of depends, but mostly trekking poles.
Okay. Now, Kelby, you mentioned, was it class 4 you said?
Yeah, some scrambling.
Okay. So to set the stage, because I think we're going to talk about this a little bit later, just to set the stage in advance, we'll take a little detour here from the hiking pole. Can you explain what each of the different classes are, class 1 through class 4?
I give you like class 4 and class 5 and then everything in between. Yeah. We'll start backwards. So like class 5 is roped up, harness, roped up. Mm-hmm. Protection, you're climbing. Class 4 is kind of just off that, not really in need of a harness or a rope. You're just kind of scrambling, you're still kind of exposed, it's harder moves. Down to class 3 is just like steep terrain that's, you might use your hands every once in a while to get up over stuff. 2 is like hiking, kind of gradual trails, kind of steep. Okay. And then 1 is kind of just a walk in the park.
Okay. So for most folks, class 1, class 2, not too dangerous. Class 3, class 4, class 5 gets progressively more difficult and more dangerous. And correct. There's some level of exposure when you get up to class 4, I believe.
And just the commitment level of the classes, it ramps up as you go up through the classes. So like a class 3, you'll find yourself in like a big scree pile where you're kind of trundling along through some rocks and you have to climb up over some stuff or you got to climb around stuff, but without being totally exposed and no big moves.
Okay. All right. Back to the pole here. What do you wear on your feet? Boots or trail runners or barefoot?
Oh, I need to try barefoot.
Definitely not barefoot. It can't, but
I'm intrigued. I'm intrigued now. I'm going to try it. I will try it on my next trip. Boots. Solomon, she told you about, those are the outlines. We're in love with them and I'll be happy to run those until they fall off my feet.
Will say they're definitely like the closest thing to a trail runner you can get in a boot.
Yeah.
So they're super lightweight. They basically weigh the same amount as a trail runner. They just have a little bit of ankle support.
Yeah.
So that's why we love them, because we've hiked in super heavy boots before, like leather boots, and that is just a no-go.
You'll enjoy that story, I promise.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, that was going to be kind of a follow-up question. That's not an official part of the hiking pole, but has anybody ever tried to sway you over to trail runners? Because I know that that is the footwear of choice for most long trail through hikers.
Mm-hmm. No one's ever pushed, at least me, no one's ever pushed me towards it. And I like my boots. I'm mm-hmm. happy back to like my work. I'm spending days in leather, heavy lug sole boots that like big logger type boots. So I'm more than happy. These feel like tennis shoes to me.
They feel like they got to feel like you're walking on air.
Yeah, pretty much.
You guys are probably too young for this, but back in the day when I was, 12, 13 years old, we used to go to the roller skating rink on a Saturday or Sunday, and you'd spend all day kind of skating around. And then when you took those heavy four-wheel roller skates off of your feet, I felt like you could fly. And I imagine that's probably the similar feeling that you've had.
Yeah.
Okay. Next question. In terms of your shelter out there, when you're on a multi-day hike, what is your preferred shelter system? Is it a tent, tarp, hammock, bivy, or cowboy camping?
So our typical is a tent.
Yeah.
I've spent a lot of nights in a hammock. I love the hammock nights. They're super comfortable. And I personally love it. I've learned through a lot of trial and error how to properly hang a hammock and sleep in one. She's not so sold on it.
I just, one of our first, like pretty early on in our relationship, we went hammock camping and I did not sleep like for a second. And we were both in one hammock. Like it was just not.
It was a double nest.
Yeah. You're still like so squished together, but even just on my own, I mean, I can relax in a hammock, but for a good night of sleep, I love a tent. He always wants to take bivvies also, but I just really like tents.
I'm the one who carries the tent every time.
So. Yeah.
Makes sense. Makes sense, Kelby. I understand that. And Zoe, I'm with you. I can take the greatest nap in the world on a hammock, but ask me to spend the night in it. Man, you're right. I can't sleep a wink.
Yeah, no.
I love it.
That same night we've set up this hammock and it was like really, it was pretty close to the road. It was like, we just hiked in like a mile or two and
it was an awesome summit. We were up at Donner Pass outside of Truckee.
Yeah.
And we got to the top of the pass looking down on Donner Lake. And I found this old tree stump on one side and a big rock on the other. And then it was like 12 feet of nothing below us. So it was this awesome little lookout.
And so we're sleeping. He's sleeping. I'm just like staring, laying there looking at the stars. And all I can hear all night long is a bear that is like, I don't know how far away, but it's just like pushing over a stump or a log or something, but it's just groaning all night. And I'm like, I'm just here in this hammock, not sleeping. Only the bear's going to come bear. And
just like play with the hammock.
It was like a speed bag for a bear.
Exactly. Nice, a delicious one at that.
Yeah. Now, Zoe, do you think that thin layer of fabric that a tent provides would be safer for you in a bear situation?
The rain fly, that's going to protect me. Like that, for some reason, that gives you so much protection. But yeah.
Okay. Now, when you guys do tent it, are you using two single person tents or do you use a double tent?
A double.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys just get involved with each other's stink. Don't care that neither one of you showered. Just, you guys are tight.
Yeah, we are.
Yep.
That's the whole, if we didn't, we wouldn't bring a tent if we weren't sleeping in the same tent.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I don't like the bivvies because I like to like, just be, have like my own space and have our own space. And
she likes that I handle the weight.
All right. Hey, when it comes to sleep systems, you prefer sleeping bag or quilt?
Bag.
Sleeping bags, definitely. We haven't tried quilts though, but.
I like being cocooned. I like my mummy bag.
So do you have two individual bags that you sleep in or do you unzip two bags and zip them together? So it's like one big sleeping bag.
We don't have those. No. We haven't gotten those. So
right now we're rocking some old REI trail pods. They don't even make them anymore.
Yeah.
But they're great.
All right. This question, very important. When it comes to food, are you guys stove folks, cold soak or stoveless?
Let me throw it back at you. What do you think we are?
I think from your answer so far, you guys are going to go with stove.
Yeah. Absolutely. Every day of the week.
We're huge foodies. Like we love food. And so
we have gourmet meals backpacking. We don't mess around.
Oh, this is good. This is good. I always like to talk a little bit of food. If you've got some special recipes out there, what's your favorite go-to gourmet recipe out there?
I think gourmet. I think one of our favorite is tacos because you can't ever go wrong with tacos, but like we pack in a lot of weight for these tacos, but like the rice that's already pre-made, it's like the mint or what is that? It's like in a bag.
Yeah.
Rice and like bagged refried beans and bring cheese and hot sauce. And what else do we put in it?
That's about it. We can throw whatever we want in it. Sometimes. Yeah. That's
leftovers. Cause we usually pack in like for the first night, we always pack in something that's like real food
ready to eat. Just something like, yeah, like she said, leftovers. We've done Subway before. We've done like burritos from a local taqueria. We've anything like that.
It's just always simple worth for the wait. First day. And then we always bring like charcuterie stuff for lunches, like salamis and cheeses and crackers. And
my Leatherman signal has seen a lot of cheese
and some wine.
And some wine.
Yeah.
Wine are, you packing in a bottle or is it in a boba bag or what is it?
They're like little cartons. There's this company called Bandit that we have always used and they make cartons of wine and they're like perfect for backpacking because they come in small containers and they're super easy. Like they'll fit in a bear canister and
box wine on a backpacking trip. That's awesome.
Gourmet.
We don't mess around when it comes. We can be uncomfortable in a lot of ways, but our food setup is never lacking.
So here, this is, you know, trail wisdom right here, that if your feet are happy, the hiker's happy. And also if you're eating well, you know, you're not, you know, one of the top three topics on the trail for folks is food, what they're going to eat when they're off trail. Yeah. If you can take that out of the equation, if you're eating tacos and charcuterie and wine, I mean, holy smokes.
And we're happy to do it. I'm happy to bring like little bit of anything else to bring extra food. But I also eat a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, next question. Life is better above or below the tree line?
Above.
I have to say definitely above. Also.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Great answer. Love that answer.
I love the trees, but there's more to it.
Okay. Now, last question here. Do you pack for comfort or for speed? I think I have an inkling on this one as well.
Comfort 1,000%.
Yeah. Yeah.
We can hike. Well, he's used to hiking with a lot of weight.
And weight isn't an issue. Like I said, I'll happily carry a 45-pound pack and it won't faze me. And I'll go days with that. And it doesn't bother me.
We definitely like will suffer for extra comfort. We want to enjoy the time out there.
But I think that comes like almost primarily just based on food. I'll happily wear the same clothing an entire trip and like have very little with me, but the food, I love food.
Okay. Well, let me do some quick addition here. We're going to carry the 3 here and divide by the root of 5, going to multiply by pi. We're going to adjust for the atmospheric pressure of, let's go with Mount Everest this time and see what the system spits out here. It looks like Zoe, I've got a score of 87 for you. That's a pretty high score.
That's pretty good.
And Kelby, I've got a score of 77.
Oh, whew. Dang.
You had some additional deductions, but still that's a pretty decent score. I didn't take the automatic 20-point deduction because I don't think that you guys have done a long trail like the PCT or the AT or the CDT.
Not yet.
Okay, so there's an automatic 20-point deduction for those folks because they are a bit
odd. I'd be at a 57? Oh, man.
Yeah, something to aspire to.
Yeah. I'm okay with it.
Okay. Now, hey, let's before we get too far down the trail, let's back up a little bit. We'd love to hear about your background, kind of where you grew up, what kinds of sports and hobbies you were involved in high school, and how you guys got involved in the outdoor adventure cult. And also, if you could all throw in there how you guys met. We always like to hear kind of the story behind the relationship there.
So I grew up in Truckee, California, and I actually did ballet my whole life. And that was like what I was doing all through like preschool through high school. And then my family was really into the outdoors and adventuring my entire life. And so they were always taking us camping and hiking. And I absolutely hated it. Like I was the kid crying on the trail because I didn't want to be there anymore. And my parents were like, she's never going to enjoy being outside. And then I went to college at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo and I studied animal science there. I was planning to go to vet school, but that isn't happening anymore. But then when I was there, I started doing more stuff on my own of like being outside, taking my friends camping, because most of them had never been before, and just totally found a huge love for it that my parents were always hoping of. And then I met Kelby, or I guess you could go and then we'll talk about how we met.
All right. So I'm from San Luis Obispo, where she went to school. So San Luis Obispo, California. I grew up racing dirt bikes from like my third birthday. I was riding a dirt bike. And then from then until I think I was seven, my dad and I would travel all around California racing. And then my dad got injured on the bike. So we stepped away from the bike for a little bit. And I went to mountain biking because it was the closest thing to a dirt bike. So, and then kind of somewhere into middle school, I'd always played soccer growing up, but I got really into it, played a lot of club soccer, played high school soccer. And as far as like outdoors goes, riding dirt bikes, like we got outside, we have this place right near home called Pozo. And so we'd always be out riding. I lived in between a couple little hills. We were always hiking. My dad would be like, let's race to the top. We had a bike path and then this little hill called Isla Hill. And he's like, we're just going to race from the house. All right, let's do it. And then even like in elementary school, my parents couldn't keep me inside. So I've just always wanted to be outside. I feel cooped up when I'm inside too long. Uh-huh. They gave me a phone. And when I was little, because I spent so much time outside and I ended up leaving that thing at home, they couldn't find me till like 9 o'clock at night most times. So yeah, I've always been outside. I can't sit inside. Can't do it.
Nice. And how did you two meet? Did you meet at Cal Poly San Luis Obispo?
So he was working.
I'm honored you think I'm that smart.
I was finishing up school and he was working as a firefighter and we actually met on Tinder. And we had both, like, I was 3 months away from moving. I had a job that I was going to in Colorado to work at an outdoor education school. And his first line on Tinder was, it looks like you're in need of an adventure buddy as badly as I am. And so we both had photos of like being outside and it just stuck. And so like we met up one night and we went on 3-4 dates within the first week. Yeah, within the first couple of days. And then
I think a week and a half in, we went on our first camping trip.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then we moved in together like 3 months later. I ended up not going to Colorado and I stayed in San Luis and yeah. So
I ruined your life.
The rest is history.
Yeah.
Well, it's great. I mean, the outdoors brought you guys together. I mean, it was your profiles on the app with the outdoors that brought you together. That's fantastic.
Definitely. And I think that it's been like, we were both outdoorsy and adventurous before we were dating and we were doing those things on our own. Like I was right before we met, I was finally getting comfortable going on solo camping trips and you were climbing and.
Yeah, I just got it. I'd been climbing for like a year. I just kind of started getting into it.
But I think it's really cool because since we've been together, we've pushed each other so much more to do so much more adventurous stuff. And we've been constantly like trying new sports and we've done climbing and mountain biking and backpacking and all of those things together. So it's been really cool to watch that.
Yeah, we share all of our hobbies and it's been a blessing. It hasn't been a curse for us. It's been
nice.
Like we spend every waking moment together.
Yeah.
Outside. Because we're mountain biking or we're backpacking, we're hiking, right. Whatever it is, we're climbing. Yeah, we share. I have a ultimate belayer here. Like forever, I don't have to worry about it.
Nice. That's fantastic. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into some type 2 fun. So stay tuned for that. We'll be right back.
We got it.
From the backcountry to the backyard, we believe everyone deserves the highest level of protection. Since 1984, Sawyer Products offers the best, most technologically advanced solutions for protection against sun, bugs, and water, using time-released liposome technology, topical insect repellents, and new standards in water filtration. And with every Sawyer product you buy, you are helping to provide clean water through 140 charities in 80 countries with their long-lasting water filters. Every Sawyer product you buy is an investment in our common humanity. Choose Sawyer and keep the adventure going, knowing that their products have been tested and chosen by those who count on serious protection on the trail all day long. Six Moon Designs has been innovating ultralight backpacking gear for the past 20 years. With a wide range of products ranging from ultralight shelters to backpacks and accessories like their extensive line of trekking umbrellas, Six Moon Designs is sure to have a great piece of gear for your needs. With the company philosophy being that gear should aid one's experience, not define it, Six Moon Designs thinks the more time people spend outside the natural world, the better off this world will be. And remember, go wild, live young. And welcome back. We are talking to the Adventure Addicts, Kelby and Zoe. And I'm really excited to get to this next section, which is talking about your hiking resume and telling some stories out there. From what I've seen on your social media and in our conversations before, I think you've got some real stories of type two adventure or type two fun to share with us. So where should we start with this?
I'm going to start with Whitney.
Yeah, we can start with Whitney.
So we'll start with Mount Whitney. We did Mount Whitney almost a year ago. It was in May of last year. And we
had, spur of the moment too.
Yeah. So we were actually hoping to climb Mount Shasta. The weather took a turn for the worse in Northern California area. And so I happened, this was, my dad was coming on the trip too. He lives in Sedona with us or nearby us. And it's been really fun since we lived here to like bring him on adventures because he loves that kind of stuff and he's been doing it forever, but he hasn't done it in a while. So like getting him back out there has been amazing and he's been super happy. So we were planning to do Mount Shasta with him. And then this is right when we moved to Sedona or pretty soon after. Yep. Weather took a turn for the worst. We were like, well, where else could we go? And I happened to just be like, I guarantee Whitney has no permits left for this weekend, but let's just see. And so I looked online and there were three permits for this upcoming weekend in May like 11th through the 13th. And
yeah, overnight, we didn't even have to car to car. We just got to do a true overnight.
Wow. That's fate right there. I mean,
yeah.
You had three people and you hit the jackpot.
Yeah, it was perfect. And so we packed up our stuff that day, drove to the Alabama Hills and went up the next day. But
let the type two begin.
So we got to the Alabama Hills. There was a lot of snow still on the trail and you needed micro spikes for at least part of the switchbacks. And we were probably going to go down the chute, like let's say down the chute, but we weren't sure. We're just going to wait on conditions. And so my dad was like, my dad has been out of the outdoor adventure like area for a while. And so he's very set on like heavy leather boots for snow travel and all of that kind of stuff. And so he was like, no, you need to, like, you can't wear your Salomons. You need to wear some heavy leather, like good winter boots for this trip.
And this this is what worked in my day. This is what we're going to do.
Yeah. And I was like, but my shoes are great. Like, I love my shoes. He was like, no, this is like, you really need these shoes because there's going to be a lot of snow. I was like, okay, I trust him with everything. So I borrowed a pair of my mom's old boots and I had worn them before, like in high school, and she doesn't wear them anymore. So borrowed a pair of those. You got a pair too.
I got a pair from a consignment store. They were Brit. Somebody had worn them once. And so I was like, all right, we'll buy those. I got them pretty cheap.
And so I don't even know how to start.
So Zoe's dad talked both of you into wearing boots.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So I guess that goes back to earlier's question. Yes, we were pressured to throw boots on. So everything was going good until where'd we stop?
So we were hiking up. We were making really good time the first morning. We were like, oh, well, we're just going to camp at trail camp the first night, summit on the second day, come back to camp that night, and then go down. So it's going to be like a very leisure, enjoy it kind of trip. And so we started hiking up and we were like really enjoying our time, making great time. We were like, we're going to have so much time at camp. We're going to make dinner.
We're really good at when we hike, and this is backpacking, hiking, anytime we're on the trail, on our feet at least, we just put on a burner of a pace. That's just what we do. We both like to, it's just natural. Like we don't mosey along. We get with it. And our times show that, and you'll understand more when we get further into it.
So We got up to outpost camp, or just above outpost camp, which is one of the campgrounds that a lot of people stay at. It's about 4 miles up. We were planning to do, I think, 6 to 7 miles to trail camp that day. So we got to outpost camp. We were filling up water, eating snacks, like just hanging out for a minute. And I went to go pee, came back to my backpack, and I tripped, and I was like, what the heck? And I looked down at my shoe, and the entire front of the sole completely was like flipped off. Like that's what I tripped on, was that my sole was coming completely off of my shoe. And then I looked at the other shoe and it was happening the exact same way. It hadn't gone all the way yet. But so we're like 3.5-4 miles into this, how long, like 20 something, 19, however long Whitney is, mile trip. And I had shoes that were completely falling apart, and we had duct tape, but like no amount of duct tape was going to fix these. Like they,
guess what we used to fix them?
What did you use?
Paracord.
Oh, that's right. You did mention that. Paracord. I fell right into that one.
Yeah. So we didn't know. We were like, I think it was probably 10, 11 at that point, maybe 12.
It was noon.
And we were like, what? Like, I can't keep hiking for the next 2 days with these shoes because they're in the snow. Like they're going to get absolutely destroyed.
I joked and said she could throw in her micro spikes because they got the like the elastic straps on them. They're just, oh, those will hold your shoes together.
Dude, they're not keeping them together.
The whole way.
All the way up the rock.
That'd be miserable.
So what we ended up doing was we were very committed and we left our two packs with my dad and he stayed at outpost camp. We ran down back to our car, drove into Lone Pine, bought me a new pair of boots at the store. I just bought like whatever boots they had, drove back up to the portal, hiked all the way back up to my dad, and then hiked the rest of the way to trail camp.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
It was a big day. It ended up being like a nine or almost an 11 mile day.
Well, 7 plus 6 or like 12 miles.
Yeah, it was 12 miles. It was a 12 mile day Whitney, which that trail, if you've hiked Whitney, that trail's no slouch. It kind of gets with it right off the bat and doesn't let up until about outpost camp.
With our packs and with like winter gear and all of that and ice axes. And yeah, so we're absolutely dead at the end of that, but
my boots did the same thing by the end of the trip. Same brand. I won't say the brand, but same brand of boots, which we will not be going with again. They did the same exact thing.
How old were these boots? I mean, you had just bought yours, right, Kelby?
Mine. They've been worn once. They were probably 6 to 8 months old.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. We were like, what is going on? It was funny because on the way down so he tied my shoes with paracord. And so I had these like giant just knots around both of my shoes and like a carabiner holding them together. And all these people were like hiking up on their way up or out up to what's the lake? Lone Pine Lake.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they were all like, oh my gosh, that happened to my shoes too.
And they had mentioned the same brand.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
But we ended up.
Pro tip, do your research on your boots before you purchase them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And probably don't hike with boots that like your mom has from years and years and years ago. But we ended up summiting the next day. We were supposed to, I originally wanted to like wake up before sunrise and get to the top before or for sunrise, but we ended up just totally sleeping in.
We were
starting at like night. 8 a.m. and
yeah.
Summited, came back down and finished the rest of the trip. And it ended up being awesome, but that was ridiculous.
Got to glissade the chute. It was our first time glissading.
Yeah, it was steep.
It was still fun. We still had a good, yeah, it was a great time. And then, yeah, that it goes into that type two is like, yeah, now we tell that story all the time. I love every second of it.
You were probably cursing when it was happening, but you love to talk about it now.
Yeah.
I will say we definitely kept like a really good, I was really proud of us for on our like extra miles we were putting on. Like we're just laughing like the whole time, because I think we could have gone really south and just being like, this is miserable, but we.
Well, and by that point we knew like I told you, a Kelby and Zoe hiking trip or backpacking trip, it was just like par for all of our trips. So we just kind of laughed like, of course it happened. Of course it would. Why wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Now the important question is, where did Zoe's dad sleep? Was he in the tent between the two of you or?
he's got a bivy.
He didn't sleep in a bivy. Yeah.
He likes to go lightweight. He's good. He's good at lightweight.
Cause he has to carry it. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We got up to trail camp and he's like, you know what, guys, I'll cook dinner tonight. He had just been hanging out at Outpost Camp and we got up there.
Yeah.
There's a picture, actually. She posted a picture on our page at trail camp. I am out just sitting on a rock, just like conked out there.
Yeah, you're dead.
You had your fill. What was the type of Whitney like when you got up there?
It was surprisingly awesome. Calm.
Yeah.
No wind.
There was like nobody there when we first got there either. And we were there in the middle of the day on a weekend.
Honestly, it was pleasant. It was like 60 degrees at the top.
Oh, the most amazing views too.
It was, I think the mountain decided to cut us a break for what we had gone through earlier. So
it put you through enough earlier. So
yeah.
Kelby paid his,
I paid a car payment at the top. I realized on the way up, I was like, oh man, my payment's due today. We got to the top and I had like one bar of cell service. And I was like, oh, I guess I'm paying my car payment at the top of Whitney. What a story.
Wow. I'm going to have to put that in the show notes that we talk about making car payments from the top of Whitney. Awesome.
It can be done. Verizon. It works at the top of Whitney.
Oh, you'll mention the phone carrier, but not the boot manufacturer.
Yeah.
The phone carrier did good. The boots kind of let us down, and apparently some other people.
All right. Now what's with the Mount Shasta story? You have a Mount Shasta, Mount Conus near Tuolumne?
We wish we had a Shasta story. We keep trying for Shasta. The weather, the mountain, I like to say the mountain, just, it's not our time. Like the mountain's not letting us.
So to give you some backstory, my dad grew up in, or didn't grow up, but he spent a lot of time as an adult in Redding. And so he climbed Mount Shasta a lot before I was born and after I was born, and his parents still live there. So like, that's been one of the places that he's wanted to take me forever and ever. And so since we've been like, since Whitney or since we came here and we started talking about all the stuff we were doing, he was like, I really want to take you guys to Shasta. And so every time that we plan it, like, I think we've had four times that we were supposed to go now. And it's, the weather has been like 70 mile per hour winds at the top. And that's not.
We find a window of time that it's going to work out for everybody. And,
or it starts, and then snowing.
The mountain decides otherwise. We've made it to the trailhead once. And so, but I guess we'll just get into the story. We drove, and it's a 14 hour drive from here, from Sedona to Shasta.
So I think is part of the reason it's been so hard to plan, because when, like, we're not just going to do a 14 hour drive again in hopes that it'll happen. Like, we have to have a good weather window and the right amount of time, because it takes us at least one day to get there.
Yeah. So we drove all the way to the trailhead, and we got there and the weather was incredible. It was like sunny out. It was pleasant. And so we decided we were going to get an alpine start the next morning. So we decided to, after being in the car for 14 hours, we're going to move the legs around a little bit. So we started, we did what, 2 miles, just to kind of see our approach, because it was going to be in the dark the next morning. And there was a chance of like a dusting of snow.
And we were going to do it in one day instead of, as opposed to like the route we were taking is all just going to be a car to car rather than like backpacking in.
So we got like just to a little vista where we could see Shastina, and there were some very ominous clouds like hitting Shastina at the moment. And then we hit our 2 mile mark. We were happy and it started snowing. And so we're 2 miles in and it starts dumping
in June, like the middle of June,
mid June. And it, like I said, it was pleasant 5 minutes ago. It was beautiful. We were all excited. And then out of the blue, just started dumping snow. So we're hiking back down. We can, by like half a mile from the trailhead, we can barely see the trail because there's so much snow on the ground. And we get back. We're like, you know what? Like, maybe this will pass. It's fine. We're in the three of us are in a Subaru Outback. So there's not a lot, like we can't hang out in the car really. So we open up the hatch, we throw a tent or a tarp over, tie it to some trees. And so we have a little shelter, but the wind starts howling. There's thunder, lightning, snow. And we're trying to like eat. They're like, no, it'll be fine. It'll be fine. It'll totally be fine. And there's like inches on the ground by this point. We're like, okay, you know what? The mountain has decided today or tomorrow is not our day. So we packed up and left. And I think that night we kind of talked about like, all right, what's our backup mountain?
Yeah, because we had driven all this way to get to Shasta. And we were like, we're not just leaving California without doing something. Yeah.
Darn it, we're going to hike something. I don't care. We're hiking something.
And it's June. So that all the Sierra is pretty much devoid of snow at that point.
Yeah.
There's not much.
Yeah.
And so we decided on Conus. And there's the next type two story for you.
Oh, we're just rolling. We're just rolling from one to the next. Let's hear it.
Yeah. So this was about exactly 1 month after Whitney. And so my dad had done Conus like 20 years ago. The Northridge of Mount Conus is what we did. And he was like, oh, I totally remember it. It's going to be like, we've got this. You're going to be able to do it all. We'll bring a rope. I don't even think we'll rope up. We've learned that his memory is not quite as good as he thinks it is. But
Tim, if you're listening, we love you.
How old is Tim? Because I think he's probably my age, which I'm feeling these Tim stories. So
I think he's 55.
Yes, he is in the Doc age range. So
Okay.
Tim, I'm with you, buddy. Hang in there.
He has so much love for adventure. And I think like it's just like we remember Whitney as being so awesome and we forget about like
the crap.
Terrible stuff. Like it's
Zoe,
just
Zoe. I'm gonna tell you a secret. The human brain is wired to forget the bad stuff and just remember the good stuff. That's why there are multiple children in the same family, because you forget the pain of what it took to get the kid there, right? And then you say 2 years later, hey, let's have another one. And that's how it works.
I believe it. Do you want to start?
Yeah. So, I mean, we were excited. It was kind of this is getting into our first alpine mountaineer, fourth class route. Like it was what we talked about earlier, that fourth class stuff. So it was big exposed, like 1200 feet of exposure below us, going along this ridge. And it was all fun. It was a good hike in.
We started at sunrise. So Mount Conus is, for anyone that doesn't know, it's outside of Tuolumne, like on the north side of Yosemite. The very top of the mountain is actually in Yosemite National Park, but the rest of it.
Like the ridge is the border of Yosemite.
Yeah.
Got it.
So we started at sunrise, hiked in, absolutely beautiful area. Yeah, like
breathtaking.
Absolutely breathtaking. I have so many photos that I still use from a year ago. We get up to the third class. It's like super fun.
Yeah, it's cool. We threw our harnesses on at one point. Just like I had a rope. We had rope harnesses. We didn't really bring any protection. We just brought some slings, just if we need to throw a sling around a rock or something, just as a little more like to feel safe rather than to actually be safe.
Okay.
So we threw our harnesses on. It was fourth class. It was a blast. And there's one rappel station, so we knew we were going to have to use them anyways.
There's two.
Oh, there is two. There's two.
There's two rappels, and then you get into the fifth class. Yeah. And it was, I think that it was like the hardest stuff is like 5, 6, but like if you fall, you're going to fall all the way to the bottom. So it's, we had never done anything like that before. Like we climb at like the local crags, but you're like 50 feet in the air and you're like, it's not that big of consequence. So it was like our first experience with that. Mm-hmm. We were loving it until we just like, we loved it the whole time, but we got to a point where like, it felt like the summit just, we couldn't reach it. Like we couldn't see the summit anymore because we were like just on a ridge and we just kept going and going and going. And
when we didn't look at a whole lot of like, we didn't do a lot of research on the trail.
Yeah, we realized we should probably do some more research on that stuff and not just like trust my dad's 20-year-old adventure. But so we ended up roping up and simul climbing for a little bit of it, but we just mm-hmm. kept going and going and going. And like, there's no, it's just like pick your own route. Like you either go on the very edge where it's like overhanging and you're just looking down at 1,000 feet, or you go onto the other side. And like, there's no, you just go wherever you feel best. And so we just kept going. And
there was a point where Zoe and her dad went off and they were climbing. They're like, hey, you untie, we're going to try and find the route. So I just found myself like, they left and I climbed around a little bit and found like this one spire and just sat on top of it. And the views from that face of Conus are incredible. But I remember that moment after it'd been kind of like stressful and we were trying to do some route finding. I just sat on this one spire and was like, no, this is awesome. Like it's pretty cool. I don't care how stressed out anybody is. This is incredible.
We got to the point though, when like I've never had the feeling that like, how would I call a helicopter right now? Like what is going to happen if we can't, because we don't have enough gear to rappel down. So like we have to keep going up because there's a hike off at the top, but like the only option is to keep going up. And this, we're watching the sun like start going down and down and down.
Yeah.
And we got to the point where we're like, we're just moving. We're not eating anymore. We're not drinking any water. It's just like, you just have to get to the top.
We started at 6 a.m. and we summited at 6 p.m. Like it wasn't supposed to be like that. And
we were expecting to summit by noon.
Yeah.
And we summited at 6 p.m. as the sun is setting. And then we tried to find our route down, but it was completely covered.
Yeah, there was just enough snow that the way down didn't look, or like the way everybody recommends going didn't look doable. So we're like, okay, there's another way a couple miles out of the way, or you could hike all the way out to Tioga Pass, which would have also been like miles back to the on the road back to the car. Right. So we started looking around and we're cliffed out at the top. And we just peeked over enough to see like, oh no, you can't. There's a little chute between the snow. We can get down the main route.
After an
hour of searching.
And is Tim taking the lead here because he's done it before? Or is he like, no, hey guys, I don't know what to do.
At that point, I think that he was just drained. And so we were like, we just need to figure this out and take over for him. He still had a lot of fun, but he was definitely like drained at that point. And so we ended up hiking down, and I think it was like 8 miles back or something. Yeah. And that was like the sun had set by the time we had found this route that we were going to take. And so we're just completely in the dark. Like I downloaded an All Trails at the very top that I like should have downloaded way before, but I found service, downloaded the trail. And so we were trying to follow this trail that turns out to not really be any of a trail. So we're trying to navigate in the middle of the night as it's pitch black, like through these giant scree fields and this waterfall and like just trying to get back to the car. And so we spent how many hours was that?
Well, we summited at like 6 and we got back to the car at 1 a.m.
And did you have headlamps?
We did have headlamps.
We did.
Okay. Cool.
We were prepared for that.
Okay.
Thankfully, but we hiked like, and then we got to the forest and we were just shouting hey bear for like 3 hours trying to just pray that we didn't sneak up on anybody.
Make it to the bottom of like the easy stretch, and then all of a sudden we come across a bear would be terrible. So
well, you guys showed Mother Nature. She didn't let you hike on Shasta, but you got your hike in, and you got your money's worth.
We did.
We ended up, we got back to the parking lot, and it's just like a trail parking lot, and we just laid out a tarp and passed out on the ground. And the next morning, everyone's driving in for their hikes, and we're like taking up one of the parking spaces.
Yeah, we didn't wake up till like 7 or 7:30. The sun was up. Everybody's like, the people that are starting the trail that day are going. And I kind of woke up once or twice hearing people like walk by or drive by, and it was like, I don't care, I'm sleeping right now.
Nobody honked at you to get out of that last parking space.
No.
They saw that we were suffering.
They knew better.
But nice. Out of every trip that we've ever done, that has been like our favorite one to look back on, because
I want to go back and solo it.
Yeah. I think we could do it again now that we have a lot more like experience.
Yeah. That was just like we said, that was just our introduction to that type of route. So now like we're all gung ho about that's our favorite. That has totally lit a fire inside of us. So like, like we've been finding fourth class routes here in Sedona or little stuff wherever we can to just be like, yeah, without a rope, but still get the fun of climbing.
Wow. See that you've already forgot about the suffering. The brain is amazing.
Definitely. Absolutely.
Nice. Now, hey, I want to be mindful of time here. Do you have another story out of the list here that you want to tell before we move on?
We could talk about our most recent trip.
Oh yeah.
It can be short and sweet.
Okay.
Coyote Gulch.
Oh, you want that Utah trip?
We just went to, have you heard of Coyote Gulch in Grand Escalante?
Okay.
It was absolutely amazing. Beautiful canyon. You have to hike a few miles like on rock and sand and then like rappel on like a hand line down into the canyon. Hike, I think it was 9 miles through the canyon, and then you get to go back up, and it's absolutely stunning, like incredible views. But the whole trip was planned around this one arch that I had seen a photo of. I've seen this photo for like a couple months now, and I was like, we have to go to this spot. And I found out where it was, and so we were like, okay, so we're going to plan this whole backpacking trip. We want to camp under this arch. And I typed in, I was like looking at the All Trails. And so I saw that there was this arch, like cliff arch, I think. And so I typed in cliff arch on Google and it popped up this arch. And I was like, there it is. It's perfect. It's halfway on the trail. Like we can camp there. It's going to be great. We got there, rappelled in, and then hiked all the way to this arch. Like it's pretty, we got there, or we were thinking we were getting there at an early enough time.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I'm like, we have passed the spot where like this arch was supposed to be. And we couldn't figure it out. We were like, no, it's definitely just hidden somewhere. Like we're just missing it. Like this giant arch. We're like, no, we definitely just need to look a little harder. And so we're halfway into this trail. We're nine miles in at this point and exhausted and couldn't find it anywhere. And then I realized that we completely missed the arch and misplanned our entire trip, because it was actually, so when we dropped into the canyon, I looked over, we were going right. You could go left up the canyon. I looked over and I was like, oh, there's a cool arch over there. And Kelby was like, yeah, but we should really keep going, because like we have a wait, like we still have 6 miles left to do.
We were trying to get some content in on that trip too.
Yeah.
So it was like, we were trying to get to our destination with some reasonable sunlight and some ability to like go take some pictures and explore a little bit. So I was like, yeah, like let's get on the trail. Let's get moving. Totally my fault.
Well, I also didn't do the proper research, but it turns out that this arch that I like happened to notice that we just skipped past was this whole point that we went on this trip for. We completely missed and didn't get to see it.
It was right at the beginning of the trail.
But other than that, fantastic trip.
Other than that, it was great. Yeah.
That was our first.
A lot of good content.
Yeah. Our first Utah desert backpacking trip.
Yeah.
It was good.
And what'd you think? Did you like that experience?
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah, it was awesome. It's definitely different because
We're mountain people. Like, we like mountains and trees way more than the desert, but it's still beautiful and unique.
Especially for this time of year, like when it's questionable to be able to go into the mountains. And... Yeah.
It's a good alternative to the snow.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Hey, Kelby and Zoe, you know where we are?
Where are we?
The pro tip insight of the week.
That's right, Half Calf. We're at that time of the episode where I ask you for your pro tip insight of the week, a bit of trail wisdom, outdoor adventure wisdom to share with our listeners to make their next outdoor experience even better. And bonus, we get two. We get two for the price of one. So I think, Kelby, you were put on the spot last time. I think it's Zoe's turn to go first.
I was going to make him go first.
She likes to tell me.
So my insight, you have it on your podcast, actually, in like the, I think it's in the beginning and the end, about embracing the suck. That's been something that we have said for our
forever
since we've met, is there, like with the stories that we've told today, there is so much, your mind creates a lot of like what actually ends up happening on the trail. And you have a lot of control over how those experiences go. And we've learned that like moving through those experiences, like there's always going to be a moment on a trip, any trip that's going to go not planned, the weather's going to turn, something like that. But being able to take that and just laugh at it or just keep going, even if it's not funny in the moment, can drastically change an experience. So that's
nice. I love that pro tip for some reason.
Funny that.
How about you, Kelby?
So mine might be a little different, is possibly kind of vague and broad, but like adventure doesn't have to just be on a trail. Adventure is what you make of it. So I spent like a lot of time in high school and right out of high school, car camping, bringing my hammock. I'd hang my hammock between my car and a tree. And that was in my hometown. So adventure doesn't have to be 150 miles away. Adventure can be whatever you make of it with whatever free time you have. That's kind of what we're all about. We were happy to drive 10 minutes down the road to go look at some Red Rock in Sedona and camp for the night, even though our bed is 10 minutes away. So yeah, it's as simple as that. It doesn't have to be a big extravagant trip.
Kelby, I love that one as well. Adventure is not as far away as you think it might be.
Exactly.
Okay. So there you have it. That's it. This episode is just about in the books. I hope our listeners enjoyed our time with Kelby and Zoe. I want to thank them for joining us this week. How can our listeners keep up with you on social media, and where can they find updates on your latest adventures?
We are Instagram, The Adventure Addicts. It's the_AdventureAddicts. And we have a website, theadventureaddicts.com, that also has some awesome trip planning stuff, our backpacking checklist, and yeah, lots of good stuff.
YouTube is coming soon.
Okay. Remember to check out the pod on social media as well. We are on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. You guys have TikTok?
We do. We need to use it more.
Okay. All right. And also, if you have comments for me you want to share, you can send it to me at johnfreakingmuir@gmail.com.
The Adventure Media Recommendation.
All right, Kelby and Zoe, I'm also looking to you to share a recommendation for a book, a movie, documentary, some sort of outdoor adventure media that's going to help our listeners stay connected to the outdoors. Calling us our adventure media recommendation. What do you have for us?
You want me to go? So just because my heart lies with mountain bikes, and this one's kind of off, different than like Free Solo and whatnot. I know a lot of people get those recommendations. I'll give you two of my favorites. Accomplice is on Netflix. It's a documentary about a whole bunch of professional mountain bikers and just how the bike has grown up with them. And it's in the title. The bike is the accomplice. So I just, because my passion is mountain biking, the second one with that is Where the Trail Ends. And that one's a little older. I think that one's on like Amazon. But that's about, they take their mountain bikes to new places that have never seen tire tracks before and ride incredible zones that nobody's ever ridden before. And
I think I've seen that one before, and there's some incredible footage in that.
Yeah. It's insane. I love, but I'll happily watch those movies over and over again.
Yeah. There are some pieces of media out there that whenever they come on, or if you see it as you're scrolling through, you're like, okay, I'm going to sit down and watch this, even though it's the 12th time I've seen it.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. I'm guilty of that all the time.
Yep. How about you, Zoe?
I was going to recommend Wild because that is one of the best books I've ever read. Different than that, though, I'm going to recommend this book that I read called Deep Survival. I don't remember who it's by, but I read it on a trip to Europe, and it's all about how people get into situations in the wilderness and the ways that their minds are able to either push them in a direction of surviving or push them in a direction of dying in the wilderness, and like the different things that your mind does when you get into like these scary situations, and the people that can make humor about it end up surviving, whereas people that panic, like, it's interesting to read about how the mind works. And it's a bunch of short stories throughout the whole book.
That sounds great. Deep Survival.
Yep.
Okay. We'll have to look that one up.
Definitely.
What have we not asked you?
Half Calf with her. I don't know what kind of accent that was. I always have to apologize for that one because it's really out of control. we're now at that time of the episode where I get to ask you, you know, what have we not asked you that you're dying to tell us about? Got something short you can tell us?
I have something short. I realized at the beginning when you asked us about the Adventure Addicts, I didn't share that the main reason we started the page in the first place was because one day we want to actually create a backpacking guiding company to take beginners out backpacking. And we were talking about it before we started the page, and we were like, why the heck would anyone ever want to come with us? Like, there are plenty of companies out there. And so the page was a small start in that we might be able to find a few followers that would one day want to be able to come with us. So we're hoping, I would love for next year to be our first year of doing a couple group trips. Mm-hmm. So that's something that is like really something we're working towards. And that's a big goal for us.
Fantastic. What area do you think you'll be doing these trips in?
It depends on where we move to. There's a good chance it'll be in the Sierra Nevada.
Oh, sign me up. Sign me up.
We'd be happy to take you.
Okay. Maybe Tim and I can, you know, when we reach for that retirement age, we can co-guide for you.
He will absolutely be coming.
100%.
Okay. Fantastic. That's a wrap from the John Freaking Muir studio. Any shout outs to friends and family, you two?
Well, we got to shout out Tim because we've been talking about him.
Yeah, Tim's dominated the episode. Yeah. I think I probably need to have just a Tim episode.
I think so. He has lots of adventures.
You'd need a couple episodes.
Okay, perfect.
He'd be a good one to have.
Yeah.
All right. Any other shout outs?
I'm good.
No, we're happy with Tim.
Just Tim. All right, Tim. All right. Well, hey, thank you for tuning in. Always remember, the trail is the trail. It doesn't care if you want to go downhill. It doesn't care if it's almost dark and you're looking for a campsite. It doesn't even care if your boots are falling apart and are being held together by your last bit of paracord. The trail is the trail. Embrace the suck.